Okay. Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach. NFL has started. Waiting for high school.
Yeah. Let's give a shout out.
College.
Let's give a shout out first to Willie Snead and the Darice boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That picture they had. Yeah. Seahawks and Raiders.
That's right. I'm going to say this. That's a Muskegon Heights connection. Parents from Muskegon Heights, Willie Snead from Muskegon Heights. So I know the boy went to Mona Shores. I don't want to give Mona Shores all that love. I'm just going to say he hikes. Because I know both of their parents. They both of their parents from hikes. Their grandparents from hikes. So,
okay.
Hey,
they're products.
Yeah, they're hikes products. That kid just, and I remember him being at Orchard View. They wanted to give him no playing time. The coach wanted to act the right with him. He was so fast. He was a good basketball player. And his dad's like, I'm just going to take him over to Shores.
Okay.
And Darice Robinson is probably the best decision he ever made because he got a son at Western.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he got a son that's bigger than that boy that's in the NFL, Ed Western. Bigger than
really?
Him. Yes. Bigger than him. I'm talking about like probably like 6'4".
Dang. So he could be in the league too then.
And then they got a little one that play at Shores too. That's nice.
Oh, okay then.
I think he made a couple catches in the championship game last year too. So they just okay. That Robinson family is just
great athletes, man.
Yeah, mother and father was good athletes in high school. So
okay.
And they come from good stock, man. So you know, like you say, NFL, it's good. What I would say is Muskegon Heights, Orchard View, Mona Shores, it don't matter. They from the 494.
Okay.
So we got to show love no matter what.
Absolutely,
that's
man.
That's it. So I know that. So yeah. I'm going to have my animosities against certain schools, so that's okay. You know, but I love all y'all because we Muskegon County wide.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Just want you to represent well.
Yeah. But yeah. Look, speaking of.
Don't send no. No bad press our way.
That's right. But look, speaking of football, your boy Tim Tebow, they let him go, didn't they?
Yeah.
They said, come on, man. You can't be no 32 shot. Years old and switch to tight end. And you ain't played like in 3 years?
You got kids 10 years younger?
You taking somebody's spot.
Well, he thought. But Urban Meyer did what, you know, coaches do.
Man,
gave him a shot.
Because he running his old system from college. He like, I know you know this system, but like, I knew it as a quarterback. I don't know what that's. A tight end, then plus, like Shannon Sharp said this, Tony. He said, when I played tight end in the NFL, I was special teams first.
Okay.
So if you can't play special teams, don't be trying to think you're going to get on the field. You brand new out here in the position. You're going to play some special. You're going to get some skin in the game. You're going to get one of the, you know, special teams in the NFL, skin in the game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Them are guys that are on the edge of, you know, becoming position players, right?
This is, how you cut.
Make,
yeah.
This is how you make your name, make your mark, is special teams, man. And if you can't make it on special teams, then you got a while before you're going to get a position.
So, Tim Tebow, out of there, he was too old to do special teams. So,
yeah.
It looked so funny when he was out there, too. Like,
I never did see him.
That's like a little kid trying to learn how to play a position with pros.
Yeah. Yeah, guys that have played this position and, you know, basically, you know, honed their craft. And here's a guy that's probably never – played anything other than quarterback, and now he's trying to learn a new position. So,
yeah, and not taking away from his career, he did a great job playing in college, and he did when he went to Denver. He had some nice shine. He won some playoff games.
Yeah.
So with the option offense, he did a good job. So we're gonna leave him where he at. But
if you want to go north of the border, you can go to CFL. They still got a program in Canada.
That ain't the money he looking for. The NFL check hit different, Tony.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
That week to week on the NFL, that check come on that Monday.
Don't get confused.
They get paid on Monday. So whatever their salary is for that year, they get paid in 17 weeks.
Right.
For a whole year. So like, you make $1.7 million. That means you're gonna get $1,700,000 a week.
Yeah, or possibly $1,000,002 after taxes.
Yep, after taxes or something. But that's how you look at it. Or if it was 10 weeks, it would be 1.7. But like over 17 weeks, you're seeing probably like $800,000 a week.
Minimum.
Man, imagine cashing a check on Monday. Like, I'm back for my another check. They're like, oh.
No, you don't cash those
checks.
Yeah, I
know. But I'm saying,
like, those are direct deposit.
I'm going to go to the liquor store cash this check. I'll be back. The liquor store man look at you like, hey. Hey, bro.
No, we can't help you, man. Even if they normally charge you to cash a check anyway. So you didn't make a nice commission on cashing that check.
Yes, yes, sir. So we got sports and sports. You know, we got LeBron and theirs. They put us in a package together. They got Melo. Yeah. They got Brody. They got AD. They got Nunn. They got Dwight Howard. And I seen on the jump or something today where they were talking about Carmelo Anthony say, only if the Pistons would have picked him number two, his career would have been a lot different.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then I would say, was that his fault he not picked?
No. No, it was not his fault.
Because he made a good case to be number one, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Like, LeBron opted not to go to college, right?
Right.
And he was obviously the best player. Okay, the best two-way talent, right?
That was available.
Right, it was available. Mm-hmm. So you touched that. He from there, sell tickets, right?
Yep, Cleveland.
Yep. So then now you look next and say, all right, in the college game, who the best player in the college game? Who won the championship as a freshman that led their team to the championship, beat teams that was historically better than them, and averaged like 20 points a game.
Okay.
So you're like, okay, I think I'll pick him. But no, you just all of a sudden get smart with your, I don't know what kind of scouts we had. I'm a Detroit fan by heart. I'm glad we picked Cade Cunningham, Tony. So I'm glad we hope we got that one right.
I think we got that one right.
Yeah, because the boy that went number two, nice too, that went to Houston. He's special. So, and we picked up a Bill Laimbeer in Luka.
Right. And
the boy, the other Luka from Iowa. You saw the weight he lost?
He looked good, man.
Yeah, so I'm back. I've been a Detroit fan, so I got my Grant Hill and Cade. I got my John Sally and Isaiah Stewart or Mark Aguirre.
Yeah.
Yep, I got the little Kenyon, the point guard. I got my Isaiah Thomas. So I got my pieces.
Right.
I got my Bill Laimbeer. So I'm appreciating that. But then going back to Melo, and the idea was, Tony, was, okay, say if he won that championship in 2004. The Pistons went to six Eastern Conference Finals, two NBA Finals, right?
Back to back.
Back to back. Then they just kept on making it. And then LeBron hit that 30 points in the third quarter or something and killed him.
That was the end.
Yeah, that was the end.
Of the run.
Yeah, that was the end of the run. That was the last time. And that was like in 2007 or something. So when you're looking and thinking about that, you're like, hold up. Melo could have had two championships after the run of the Pistons.
I agree.
They could have built a team around Melo again. Or he could have been like, look, I'm going to Miami with LeBron now.
But at least you had an opportunity to have him.
Yeah, so I'm like, that was a no-brainer. I'm like, even pick him and trade him for like veterans or something.
Really?
Like, yeah. You could have picked him and say, Denver would say, we want them. Oh, give us J.R. Smith. Give us Nene Hilario. Give us them pieces they had back then. Give us Ty Lawson. Give us these three pieces, and we'll give you Melo if you want that rookie.
Yeah.
We'll pick him for y'all to get him.
You got some bargaining tools.
Yeah, so I'm like, why would you pick – like, what did Darko show?
Never played in the NCAA, summer league, nothing.
Nothing. All right, who was he playing against to scout that?
Man, scrubs.
Scrubs.
You know, even during the workout, how could you take him over the guys that came behind him? Man. You know, I find that hard to believe, man.
But, you know, I think it gets to the point in America, and I always say these two words, exception and exception. I'm tired of picking them kind of people. Because he's from Baltimore. He's from the hood, right? Poverty area where the Wire was created at. So you act like, Baltimore, he from that county, probably PG County where KD and I'm from. You're thinking like, I don't know. That's kind of a little, because the hood, we don't know if we want to get that identity with the Pistons, you know?
Right.
Trying to get a character thing when you got a real good basketball player. That Melo ain't never been in trouble in his outside his marriage, he ain't never been in trouble.
No.
Everything else, even basketball-wise, he done did good in personal life, except for his marriage. That's about it.
Yeah, but when you look at the bad boys, I mean, all those guys were thumpers, man.
Yeah, they were.
Dennis Rodman was a thumper. Who was Big Mahorn?
John Sally.
John Sally. I mean, these guys, they were just street ballers, man. And I guess they were trying to go away from that image. I don't know. If they did, they did a good job of it.
Yep. But look, I was going to say, you know, talking about sports and then transitioning. I mean, being a sport, America has been a sport to Afghanistan for the last 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I seen I think it was a Facebook or a meme, where it had this airplane that could, a passenger plane from the U.S. Army or the Air Force or something, had U.S. on it. And it looked like it was one of the largest planes that they can have. And it had 800 in Afghanistan's on it. But outside, it looked like it was another probably 400.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah, trying to latch on to the plane. There it is. So if you can see, we're currently in studio right now. We're watching it online. So just, I mean, I understand because Al-Qaeda don't play. Taliban don't play.
Yeah, Taliban don't play. No, yep. they got a serious reputation.
Yeah, so when they coming, they coming with machetes and they doing things that, and so the scariest thing for Afghanistan and people is, if I affiliated myself any way with westernized culture, mm-hmm. they coming for me. If they're recording, if I got a TikTok, if I'm a woman driving a car, if I got an education, anything, they coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to leave that country.
Yeah. Well, we spent 20 years, man, and there was a change in how we were going to fight this war. They said, okay, we're going to train the Afghanistans to defend their own country, okay? And I've seen clips of our officers talking to these guys saying, you know,
it's going to come a day.
You guys, you're not taking this serious. And you're going to have to make a choice. If you're going to defend your country against the Taliban or get taken over, because we're not going to be here forever. All right, this is one of the military corporals or whatever that's on the ground, boots on the ground, talking to these guys that he's training. And he can see clearly that the guys, they don't have a vested interest in defending their country against the Taliban, right?
They still got it.
So 20 years later, the decision is made. We're going to get out. You guys got to fend for yourself. And there have been prior administrations that had talked about it, but Biden says the buck stops here. Of course, there's going to be casualties. There's always casualties of war. Civilians, and even, you know, our soldiers. And then when you ask yourself, why are they getting killed? What is the purpose? What are they defending? What are they defending for their lives? Is it a threat against America? Not at that time it wasn't. I mean, the whole thing started over 9/11, right?
Right.
This is how it all started. Weapons of mass destruction, and we find out Bin Laden is a part of it, and he's being, you know, held in Afghanistan and protected by Al-Qaeda. That's what started it, right? Okay, he's dead. Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, is still alive and well. If they want to defend their country, defend it. If not, we're leaving. We've lost enough lives that we don't need to continue to do this. So I know there's a lot of people that's got different feelings about it, but at some point in time, you have to make a tough decision. And I think Biden did it.
Yeah, I think he did too. Because that's like another war waiting on us that we already done dealt with.
Okay. 20 years, man.
Saddam Hussein is gone. Bin Laden's gone. What? And then I was reading something somewhere else on another station or article, and they were saying that you talking about an organization, it's not a government organization. You talking about pockets of people. Like, look, this is what we do. We Taliban. We like a gang.
They are a gang. They drug. They gang. Know. I mean, part of their revenue is selling poppy seeds, right? Yep. Afghanistan is one of the largest countries that developed a poppy, which they use to manufacture heroin.
Yes, right.
Okay. And they export these to all parts of the country, and this is how they basically...
It's a gold natural product for them.
Yeah.
They make millions and billions of dollars.
Absolutely. Just like we make cars, right?
And anybody get in the way...
They got a problem.
Don't get in the way of what we do.
They got a problem. So, tough decision, but it had to be made.
Yeah.
You know, amongst all the other issues that, as a president, he is facing, right? We're still dealing with the virus.
Yeah, okay, Delta. They're talking about a third shot possibly. Yeah,
booster shot.
I mean, they already cleared it for the people that got pre-existing conditions. Okay, mm-hmm. They already cleared it for them, but then they say, "Hey, CDC is going to ready to make a decision to probably clear it for people that don't."
Absolutely, yeah, it's coming. Okay, even the students that's 12 and younger are still trying to, you know, get those case studies done so they can take that to the FDA so they can get approved for vaccination for children under 12, right?
Yes, sir.
Then we're still dealing with trying to get this the CARES package where we want to deal with the infrastructure of the country. So there's a lot of issues that's on the table, right? And that's one we don't need anymore. It's that simple.
It's tough. And then, you know, speaking about, I got this article from Fortune.com, and it speaks to how, if I could break it down, it speaks to how the memorandum is ending. And they're saying there's a big shift in the housing market.
Yeah.
But then my thing is to what capacity is the market going to shift, right? So as I was reading this article, the way they were going, it was like the prices of houses, it's going to shift, but it's going to shift to a buyer's market or a seller's market.
Well, right now it is a buyer's market. And one of the main driving forces behind it is the interest rates, right? Money is cheap. That's the driving market. But it is cooling off. Housing sales are starting to level off. And the reason people were able to get these premium on their homes is because the money was so cheap. So if you had your house on the market for $200,000 and you got a number of bids and a guy, you know, he qualified for $250,000, he's like, well, $250,000, that other $50,000 is not going to be that much of a difference because of the fact that I got it so cheap. I got interest rates 3 to 4, 5%.
Yeah, I can lock in like, so $200,000, depending on the down payment, could be $700 mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to change. And I think we got a big meeting coming up with the Fed. I think it's next month. And part of cooling off the economy from a inflation standpoint is to raise interest rates. So I really truly believe that it's not going to be a major increase, but you'll see a 0.5%. There'll be an incremental increases. But the purpose in that is to try to cool the market off and slow inflation. Because it is definitely, when you go to the supermarket and pick up products, you know there's inflation.
Okay? Oh, yes, it is. I was going to read from the article. It says that cooling, so the cooling doesn't mean home prices will fall. In fact, the research firm CoreLogic forecasts home prices will climb another 3.2 by June 2022. Because like you said, inflation, make no mistake, it's still a seller's market, right?
Okay.
So they talking about the mortgage forbearance program. Some people are going to qualify for that. The foreclosure memorandum, right?
Yep.
So when you have those spaces where it's like, okay, some people are going to lose their house.
Yeah, that's inevitable.
Some people not going to lose it because they're going to have the foreclosure help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you got this 6 month extension program, or we're going to take your 6 months and we'll give you a year, but you got to sell this house in a year. It might be a short sale. Some people going to fall into that, but some people going to fall up on the straight. You lost it.
Yep.
So that's coming. Even though they
talk about it. There'll be a percentage, 5%, 6%. Don't know what it is, but you're absolutely right.
That's coming. And I think that's going to be in 2022. So it's just looking and seeing the spaces. And then even being in our area, more and more people are building. But I want to say this to our audience. Okay, we downtown Muskegon. And we got a school district called Muskegon Public Schools. And we have condos off the lakeshore. We have condos downtown. My next question is, where are those kids going to school at? Are they choicing out to North Muskegon? Are they choicing out them on the shores? Or are they going to Muskegon Public Schools?
Well, when I drive through downtown Muskegon on my way to my office, the individuals that I see coming in and out of those facilities are young people.
Okay.
No children.
No children.
Okay. The gentrification, right?
And millennials.
Yeah.
And that's okay. If it's millennials coming, that's good.
At some point in time, you know, it's going to happen, you would hope. And then the other piece is they are older people that have retired, maybe sold their home, and want to spend their time on, you know, traveling or what have you versus taking care of a home.
That's right, having a yard. No space.
Yeah. So I don't really see middle class type people at this time
families. Yeah, the average family of four is not living in those spaces. So that's good then. That speaks good.
But I think the other complex that they have here at the end of Western, those houses. Now
they but they went from selling them to renting them.
Oh, really? That part I missed.
And the rent is $1,300 a month.
Why don't you buy it then? Why wouldn't you buy it? If you're going to spend $1,300 a month for rent,
yeah, I wouldn't.
If you qualify for rent, you should be able to qualify for the mortgage.
If you qualify for the credit report for the rent, you should be able to get the mortgage.
Yeah.
But the mortgage would be a lot cheaper.
It sure would. And plus, you got equity.
Yeah, you got equity.
Right? So, after, you know, $1,300 in rent, it's gone every month. You have no equity in that building. So, that makes no sense at all. You know, only way I could see it making sense is if the rent was $800, $700, half of what your house payment would be.
That's right.
But not
$1,300. I ain't paying nobody no $1,300.
Not the rent.
No, that don't make no sense.
Nope. And if it was, you know, short term, I'm here on a project, right? And you know, that's part of the moving package. They pay my rent, was actually not coming out of my pocket. It's different. The corporation is paying for it. But if I got to pay that much every month, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm not thinking that that's to not have a new place I'm renting.
Yeah.
I got this new spot I'm renting it.
For $1,300. You know, I own a house, and I know not that much, okay?
Yeah. So I don't know nobody. You got a house, nobody. You're living off the lake good. You got a 30-year payment, that's $1,400.
That's a lot of payment.
You're in a secluded neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a whole lot different than a 15-year note with a $1,300.
Oh, I'll pay that.
Okay.
I'll pay 15
for 13.
15 years for $1,300. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Somebody give me that. That's a deal. I'll take that.
Yeah. Not 30. You're going to buy it three times now.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's the interest rates that's driving a lot of this.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess the builders are saying versus having it set empty, and I don't know if they cut a deal with the city to say, okay, yep, we're not really, you know, we're not getting a lot of traction from selling. So, but I know the city is moving towards trying to reduce the amount of rentals that's in the community.
So then what? Here go my plan. Rent to own.
Yeah, so that's an old concept. That
charge $1,300, make it a land contract, and after a year, go on and flip them in the mortgage and say, sir, a part of your rent going to be go towards your down payment and make it like a 3% loan.
Okay. Like
you put 3% down. You stay in here for 24 months. You pay us $13,500, right? $13,500, and $300 of that for 2 years going to escrow account, and you got $6,000 towards your down payment.
Yep.
And then now we'll take your situation and put you in this space. That's what you really want. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, you want homeowners. You know, and as a builder, you know, you're gonna hold the note just to make sure that you know they don't. That you, eventually you're going to have a buyer versus a renter. I've been a landlord before. I don't particularly like to be a landlord. Okay?
Man.
Especially, if, you know, in a new complex. Because somebody had to pay to build it. Somebody had to go get the loan to pay to build it. So he's still sitting on a note from the bank what might could be, you know, $4 or $5 million.
Oh, yeah. It's about five. If you build, because it go like that. It go, what, 8? 8, 16, 20 units, 54 units.
Right.
And you get that combo loan. I got that combo loan. They gave me $30 million.
Right. And to build this complex.
Yeah, to build this complex. And I'm at phase one.
Yep.
And I only sold, I got 10 I'm supposed to sell in phase one to show the bank I'm ready. And I only sold one.
Yeah, not good.
And I ain't sold one, only sold one in 12 months. Oh, the bank, like, you got to change your plan.
Yeah, something
we're going to have
right
to rent. You're going to have to rent.
Yeah.
New plan.
Yeah,
new
we
plan.
Need income.
Yep.
You got to generate some cash flow,
God. You got to pay back this.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, they might, you know, give you a couple deferments on your payment, but not many.
Man.
Not on that kind of a note, man.
Yeah. What you got over there?
Oh, I had just picked up some information about the tax credit that was for the kids. And
I was doing a calculator the other day.
I
saw some things.
You know, and there's always going to be your naysayers, but, you know, this particular article is saying that they know the child tax credit is working, and not just because we read hundreds of stories like this across the country where this one guy says the extended tax credit payment is an acknowledgement of how difficult it has been for decades for working mothers and families just to get by. You know, child care is huge, man. It's really difficult to get paid a wage of $10 an hour and have to pay child care out of that. All right? So that's basically what that's saying is, you know, this is going to help a lot of people get back to work because there's still a worker shortage and people have to make a decision. Does it pay for me to go back to work or do I stay at home to care for my kids? So the child tax credit is allowing other folks to go back to work and be able to have their child care taken care of. So it'll be a win-win situation.
If I was doing a calculator the other day just playing with some stuff, and I typed in a parent, three kids, and then it showed up $9,600 for the year.
Okay.
So an extra $10,000 to help somebody with daycare and things in that nature to help them. So that's three kids, family of five, three kids, 10 G's.
Not cheap, man.
That's it. Like, that's going to take care of my kids, that $10,000. Some tutoring, some reading help, somebody going to watch them and hook them up with some learning.
So, and it's going to be hard to find a quality daycare that would charge you $10 a day per child. Okay?
You're going to get the slum lower.
Okay. Or people that just going to put them in a room and close the door.
Okay. They'll be on the news. You
know, throw them some crackers in every once in a while. But
put them in the basement. But we laughing, but this has happened.
Oh, absolutely has happened, man. Bro. You know? But, you know, you think, what is a fair number? What is a fair amount? I would say $30 a day, right, for child care for a family. So if you work 5 days a week, it's $150.
Yeah, that's a week. That's reasonable.
Yeah,
for the basic essentials.
Yeah,
Some learning lessons, nap time, some breakfast and a snack.
Yep,
a lunch and then
because that person that's running the daycare has expenses, right?
Yeah, they got overhead.
If they have a building, they got to employ people. They have to pay taxes. They have to have insurance. So you know, it makes it very difficult. And then there's a limit. You know, the state says you can have so many kids per adult in that daycare service. So you got to pay those people.
Yes, sir.
So I'm thinking $30 a day is about the going rate for child care. For a good one, anyway. You know, it's not like I'm going to send him over here to grandma's house and, you know, grandma 80 years old and she don't have a whole lot of energy to, be trying to entertain this 3-year-old. You know, grandma be tired, man. She didn't raise a whole bunch of kids. She's not interested in that, but she's just trying to help out. So, you know, most of the time, they're going to sit there and watch a Mickey Mouse cartoon. She's going to feed them. You know, she's going to care for them. But as far as actually getting the kind of educational building that would happen in a really daycare setting, it's not going
to
happen.
Yep. I would say to our audience, get to a daycare, so then when it's time for the pre-K, like we got here, all-day pre-K, Muskegon Public Schools does. Oh, I'm giving them a plug.
Yep.
Muskegon Public Schools got the all-day pre-K, so the kids can get, when they get done with daycare, they can come to school.
Come to school. Yeah.
So use this money to get them up to speed on how it is. I'm going to say this. I'm quoting Kobe Bryant, too. In order to have creativity, you got to have a level of structure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a sport. We're going to run this play. You can dunk. You can shoot a layup. You can cross over. But do it in this system. So if you got daycare and somebody teaching your kid how to act, how to sit down, how to pay attention.
Yep.
When they transition into school, it will not be an oddity for them to have the appropriate behaviors to acclimate in the system so their creative juices can flow when it comes to music. Dancing. Oh, I want to show and tell. I want to dance. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. You can do it appropriately.
Right.
Instead of acting out in class and nobody's never gave you any structure. So your creativity struggles because you don't know how to formalize who you are.
Yep.
So I think daycare is critical and important. Yeah. Instead of having grandma do it, because that's got probably health issues, got other things going on. She retired. Why? Grandmama can't do everything. Yeah.
Like I said, she probably done raised two or three families anyway.
Yeah.
So
let grandma send your kids to you bad. Like bring them to her so she can spoil them. When they come back, they teeth got cavities and they ain't
fat.
Slept.
Yeah. They fat because you been cooking all
year. Yeah. Let grandmama do her grandmama job.
Right.
Let her be like, oh, I got a stomach. I ate all that ice cream and candy. Grandmama took me everywhere. So let grandma be grandma. And granddaddy be granddaddy. Don't put them into the system where it's daycare. Oh, I gave that money to my mama. Don't do that. You about to spice in jail. No. You about to go to jail. Don't lie. Please don't.
No, and it's not worth it. Trust me.
But look, speaking of saving on healthcare and things, I'm still on the healthcare thing. And the 10th strategy is deduct medical expenses. If you itemize deductions on your tax return, you may deduct qualified medical and dental expenses, such as prescription costs and payments to medical providers that are unreimbursed by insurance and exceed 7.5 of your adjusted income.
Right.
But also, you can deduct daycare.
Okay.
That's a form of health.
Yes, sir.
That's a form of health. They teaching your kid about nutrition, all this, because these places are contracted and they have to pass code when it comes to food and certain things and services providing.
They're regulated by the state. The state come in, observe, check. You know, they got their checklist, making sure that these are all, you know, you get all the boxes. All the boxes are checked.
Yeah, so audience, we coming down on you are because I just know that the child's brain from 0 to 5 is important. So once you get
very
them in a
formative
space, yes, when you get them in a space where they start getting their creativity and it's no structure, that's a recipe for chaos.
Yes.
Like, just do whatever you want to do from 4 to 8. Then you're going to be in school in the first grade like, ABCs, what's my name? My name, Doodoo. Thomas Williams. Who is that?
Yeah,
they call
me
Doodoo.
You don't use your nickname. No, don't use your nickname in here. What's your name, son?
Who is Thomas? But real, I'm serious.
It's unfortunate, it is true.
I done heard those horror stories. Yeah. Kids come to school their first time and they ain't been in no structure. They done been with grandma and they done had somebody 50 babysitters and they ain't been in no daycare and they sitting somewhere and they say Thomas Williams. They marking them absent every day. Then somebody comes and say, teacher, you ain't called me. What's your name? Doodoo. So that's our show today. But save money. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.